To be with you here to worship the Lord here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Turn to a scripture found in the book of Psalms. Well, I want to just, for the time I stand before you, speak on honoring God. You know, sometimes when we think about who we are by nature, that we're sinners saved by the grace of God. How can sinners such as we are do things to honor God? But we can. The scriptures tells us to do it, and it instructs us in ways that we can go about to honor God. So we want to take a look at several scriptures as just to go over some of the ways that we honor God, the very reason that we gathered ourselves here this morning is to worship the Lord God of heaven, and to worship Jesus for the things that he's done for us. So we worship God. That's one way to honor him, and that's one way we as God's children can honor him, is to meet together each and every time the church opens the doors to worship him. We can also magnify the Lord, lift him up, that that he's lifted up above any idea of man or any idea. We magnify him, lift him up above where we're at, so that we can look up to God and honor him by magnifying his name. We exalt him because he is in an exalted place there at the right hand of the throne of God. So we should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt him there in heaven. Another way we can do it is praise him. Now we can praise him while we worship him here this morning, but praising the Lord is more than just meeting together and praising him here. We should praise him. This scripture is going to tell us praise him all day long. We ought to have praise in our hearts unto the Lord continually, each and every day that we live here upon this earth. I want to begin here in Psalms 29, where it gives us some instruction here to honor the Lord. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 29, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Now let me just stop right there, lest someone, I don't think anyone here would get the wrong idea. The Lord has all power and all strength, and he doesn't need us to give him strength that the Lord would have more strength, because he already has all strength. What this scripture means is, from our perspective, from your thought, from the way you're thinking about God, give God all the strength. Think of him as a God who has all strength, and you look up and worship him. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And then it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now that's one of the reasons we've gathered ourselves out here in this place this morning, is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now we're just sinners saved by grace. But when we think of the Lord in his holiness, in his righteousness, we ought to worship him in the beauty of that holiness and that righteousness. Then it goes on and speaks to you about the voice of the Lord. And I like this particular scripture because it tells me how the Lord gave me eternal life. How the Lord reached down and rescued me from where I was at, dead in trespasses and in sin, and gave me life. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And then in verse 4, a scripture I quote quite often in my preaching, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now that's how the Lord speaks life unto his children, with his voice. The Lord speaks, that it speaks to hears his voice. Now some people will say, well, the Lord speaks to you, you must respond. No, a person that's dead in trespasses and in sin has no ability whatsoever to respond. But when the voice of the Lord speaks, remember, it's powerful, it's full of majesty. And when that voice speaks, and that is the only voice that can speak unto the dead, and the dead hear. That was proven when Jesus went there to the grave of Lazarus. When Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and he raised Lazarus from the grave with the power of his voice, nobody went into the grave and said unto Lazarus, "Now Lazarus, you must respond. You must listen and respond to the Lord's voice in order for you to receive life." No, Lazarus was in no condition to receive, to do anything. And so when the Lord spake unto Lazarus, Lazarus responded. Why? Because the Lord, who is the only author and giver of life, spoke life back into the body of Lazarus. How? By the power of the voice of God. That's why this scripture in the book of Psalms says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And when the Lord called unto Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus responded. Well, you know, that was natural life. That was the natural body. The same thing happens to each and every one of us who were conceived in our mother's womb, born into this world, dead in trespasses and in sin. And in that condition, we were in no way able to do anything to respond to God. But when God, through the power of His voice, spoke life unto you, you responded. Now I want to show you a scripture that describes that. And when I read this scripture, I'm going to tell you this. This scripture is just about as plain as you can get about the voice of the Lord. And you have got to have help to misunderstand what this scripture says. It's found in the Gospel of John, and it says this, and we'll read two verses here. It says in chapter 5 of verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now I want to just deal with that before I get down to how God speaks with his voice, life unto a sinner. That says, anyone that hears the word of God and receives it, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, it's because he hath everlasting life. Not that he does it to get everlasting life, but he has it. If he hears it and responds to it, it's because he has already been given eternal life by God the Father. And then he says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is already passed from death in trespasses and in sin unto life by the life-giving voice of the Son of God. And then in verse 25, he tells us about the power of that voice. You remember, the power of the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And then in verse 25, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Now what he means is out in the future. The hour is coming, and now is. Not only is it out in the future, but it's occurring right now. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now some people you read this scripture to will tell you, yeah, that's true, but that says they that hear shall live. But I'm telling you all that the voice of God speaks life to hears. Who hears that? All that voice, the voice of the Son of God that speaks life unto a sinner, every single one of them hears that voice and receives life and is converted from a state of death into a state of eternal life that they have to serve God while they live here in this world. Yes, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And we honor God by meeting out as we have this morning to worship the Lord. Now let's turn over a little further here in the book of Psalms. And we'll find a scripture here that tells us to magnify the Lord. That means to lift Him up, to see how great God is, to see Him in all that He is and all that the Scripture describes for us of this great God of ours. In Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in our mouth, in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then in verse 3, he says, oh, magnify the Lord. How do we honor the Lord? We magnify His name. We lift Him up above where we're at, that we can look up unto God and magnify the name of the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that the Lord, as we magnify Him and we call upon His name, He hears. He lends an ear down to His children who call upon His name, and He hears and responds to them as we magnify the name of the Lord. That's two things that we can do to honor God: worship the Lord and magnify His name. No doubt about that. Now we want to turn over to Psalms. Psalms 56 here. It says here that we ought to exalt Him exalt Him above the heavens. In verse 5 here. Oh, it is in 57. 57 of the book of Psalms. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, you know, when we think of the earth and the heavenly bodies that surround the earth, the moon and the stars, God is up above all of that. And we ought to exalt Him above the heavens. We ought to think of Jesus, who seated at the most exalted place that anyone could sit, and that's at the right hand of the throne of God. We ought to exalt Jesus. Know He's there 24/7 to hear and answer our prayers. Seated there at God's right hand, and we ought to exalt Him and think of Jesus there. People say, well, if Jesus, people might tell you, well, if Jesus died and rose again, where is He at? He's in heaven. He's in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's only there until He comes again to claim His bride and to take His church home to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. It says, exalt the Lord, exalt God above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all of the earth. Exalt Him high and above this earth and in the very heavens above us. That's how we ought to do the Lord. We ought to praise Him. It says in Psalm 70, we ought to praise Him all the days of our life. Or in 71, that is, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. We ought to honor God. We ought to praise Him. We ought to spend our day in praise to God. Our thoughts ought to be continually of Him for the great things that He has done for us. Let our mouths be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day long. Beginning at the very first of this chapter 71, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given a commandment to save save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous, and the cruel men, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from thy womb, from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continual of thee. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day long. That's another way we can honor God, by continual and constantly praising the name of the Lord as we live here upon this earth, to praise the Lord continually. We ought to exalt him in the congregation. Now, we've met together here this morning in a congregation of believers of like precious faith to worship and adore and exalt the Lord, and we ought to exalt him in the congregation. That's why we're here, and that's what should be our purpose. We'll find here in Psalms 107, it says in verse 30, beginning there at 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." That's a great thing to praise the Lord for his goodness, for the goodness he's implanted within us that gives us a measure of faith that we may exercise ourselves in that faith in service to him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation. We're here to exalt the Lord of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs unto dry ground, a fruitful land unto barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, the dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And in all of that, he's saying, even in all that he's done for us eternally, all that he's done for us to carry us to be with him in heaven, yet these things he blesses us with, all the natural blessings that we have in this life, we ought to praise and honor God because he's given these things to us. He's enabled us to have them. He's blessed us with these things that we might enjoy them here in this world. Exalt him above the congregation. Then we turn over here to the book of Isaiah, and it says we ought to exalt God for his faithfulness and for his truth. Now, you know, it's a wonderful thing to understand the truth. I have so many friends. They're good Christians, and they do the very best they can doing to serve the Lord. But the things that they do don't honor God. It honors man. It honors the sinner. It honors those because of the things that they do that they would not be able to do except God has already given them eternal life. So I respect them. I appreciate their service to God, and I try not to discourage them. If they want to talk about the truth, I will. But it's a wonderful thing to know the truth that God was first in the salvation of the sinner. The sinner didn't do anything to save himself, but God did it by his grace. That's why it's by grace. If it's 99% grace and 1% works, then it's not grace. You just destroyed grace by making it 1% works. No, it's 100% grace. And then after that, God has given you that, then you use that that God has given you to serve Him while you live here in this world. Well, to exalt Him for his faithfulness and His truth. Chapter 25 of Isaiah. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful works. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Never forget to praise the Lord that you understand and know the truth that salvation is of the Lord. And when you got that from the Lord, then it was then that you serve Him. I'm not one to say it's all by grace and you don't need to do nothing. Don't sit on the stool of do nothing. Not in the Primitive Baptist Church. No, it's all about serving God. But He gave you that life that you might serve Him. Give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And then I like this one last scripture that I'll use in closing, found in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation here, John was looking over into heaven, and John saw a great happening here in heaven. This hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen though when Jesus comes back. What John saw, he looked over into heaven and he saw this multitude of people, a great number that no man could number, around the throne of God. And he saw the Lamb that was slain to redeem them. That's Jesus Christ, the lowly Lamb of God that's seated there in heaven. And John is going to tell us here in the book of Revelation is that we ought to give the God honor for the marriage of the Lamb is come. The marriage of the Lamb. In other words, John is writing this as though it has already occurred. Well, how can he do that? He can do that because he is writing this from the precept of God Himself. Now, let me tell you something about this great God of ours. God is an eternal God. And when I say eternal, I mean He is not a creature of time. Now, all of us are looking at our watch and seeing when is Brother Heron going to quit so Elder Martin can get up there. We're creatures of time. And as creatures of time, we look for things to happen. Some of us may be looking forward to the presidential inauguration this week, but it's not going to occur until Friday gets here. But in the mind and purpose of God, when God has something that He has set in motion, it's as well and as good as if it has already occurred. And here in the Revelation, John writes this. We'll begin at chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Give honor unto God, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Well, that marriage hadn't occurred yet. That's going to occur when Jesus leaves that right hand of the throne of God, comes down to this earth, and then raises all that are in the graves from the grave, changes them from that corruptible state they're in to an incorruptible, and then carries them up, and then takes them that are alive and remain that are the Lord's, change them from that immortal state they're in, from that mortal state they're in to an immortal state, and carry them all to be with Him in glory. And that's the marriage of the Lamb. That's a marriage that's going to occur when Jesus comes again, Jesus is the bridegroom, the triumphant church, all of God's children that He gave to the Son before the foundation of the world are going to be married together and carried to heaven to be in heaven. And that's the marriage of the Lamb. And He said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. When God calls you, He has called you into the supper of the marriage of the Lamb. And one day when Jesus comes again, He's coming to claim His bride and to take us all to be with Him in heaven. I thank you for your attention. Now pray for Brother Martin as he comes now to preach to you. Thank you very much. And
oh, sometimes the shadows are deep and